Welcome, and thank you for joining the National Multiple Sclerosis Society's MS Learn Online Internet Program. I'm Rick Turner, your host and medical correspondent. Symptoms of MS are unpredictable and vary from person to person and from time to time in the same person. In this four-part series on symptom management, we've covered bladder dysfunction, pain, and vision in MS. Today, in our last webcast of the series, we'll be discussing sexual dysfunction. We're very pleased to have as our guest for this series Dr. Nancy Holland. Dr. Holland is Vice President of Clinical Programs for the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, headquartered in New York City. Welcome back to MS Learn Online, Dr. Holland.
Thank you, Rick.
It's great having you with us.
Thanks.
Sexual dysfunction has at least two major components to it. One, the physiological side, and two, the emotional impact that it can have in a relationship. So let's start with the physiological side. What is happening when a man and what's happening when a woman is experiencing symptoms of sexual dysfunction?
Before I answer that specifically, Rick, I think I just want to say, first of all, you're totally right. The sexual problems have both physiological and emotional components. But MS, the experience of MS can also impact the sexuality as well as sexual function, and sexuality being the experience of feeling male or female and relating to men and women based on these feelings and self-perception. And this is true for homosexual as well as heterosexual individuals and can be affected by a lot of factors. But certain sexuality for people with MS is impacted by changing roles, self-image, and lots of those issues as well.
Yes.
To look at actual sexual dysfunction, it's also common in people with MS. The estimates range from 40 to 80% in women and 50 to 90% in men.
Hmm.
And MS-related sexual problems have been conceptualized into three categories: primary, secondary, and tertiary. And the primary sexual dysfunction includes problems arising directly from MS damage to the central nervous system, the brain, and spinal cord. And men, the most common problem is erectile dysfunction, which is difficulty in getting or maintaining an erection. Both men and women can experience decreased libido or sexual interest or desire, and there also may be difficulty achieving orgasm for both sexes. In women, in addition to these issues, there also can be decreased vaginal sensation and decreased lubrication during sexual activity. And unlike some MS symptoms, which we've talked about, that tend to be temporary, primary sexual problems unfortunately tend to persist. This does not mean that help is not available, but it is important to know that the sexual dysfunction is not likely to clear as some of the other symptoms do.
Okay.
Secondary sexual dysfunction is the result of MS symptoms, which are not in the genital area, but which still interfere with sexual function. And these include symptoms such as spasticity, which can be manifested as spasms of the thighs, which cause the thighs to push together, which interferes with sexual activity. And also orgasm can result in very serious spasms as well. MS fatigue, which is extremely common, can prevent the person from having sufficient energy for sexual activity. There's energy needed for preparation as well. The shower, the scents, the enticing garments, and the atmosphere. So if a person's having a fatigue problem, it's very likely going to interfere with sexual function. And then loss of bladder or bowel control, or even if it's not happened, just the worry about it happening is certainly an impediment to sexual activity.
Which also goes back to that first point you made about self-image.
That's right. That's absolutely
one's
right.
Feeling of being sexy.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's very hard to think of yourself as sexy when you're having those kinds of elimination control problems. And the third kind of dysfunction is tertiary, and this gets back to your initial statement, Rick, about the psychological as well as the physiological. This is very specifically the psychological and social ramifications of MS on sexual function. So a tertiary problem can be the diminished self-esteem, damaged self-image, and a very large issue is depression. Depression is very common in people with MS and certainly interferes with interest in sexual activities. I mentioned earlier that roles are often altered, and the person with MS may feel like a burden to other family members, including the sexual partner. And just the general strain of coping with MS can challenge a couple's ability to be open about their expectations and the changing sexual landscape.
Dr. Holland, you mentioned that the primary sexual problems tend to be more persistent and are less likely to come and go like other MS symptoms. Does that mean that the secondary and tertiary symptoms are the same, that they will also be more persistent?
No, actually, the secondary and tertiary can be addressed directly. The physical problems can be addressed, and the spasticity is for example, is not always persistent. Fatigue is not always persistent. So these are... The secondary and tertiary will respond better to interventions and may not be persistent as the primary symptoms are.
Okay, that leads us to the issue of available treatments. So what can be done to help those symptoms?
Happily, there are interventions. Sexual function is certainly so complex that there's usually a need for a stepwise assessment and a trial and error approach to interventions, and a lot of patience and perseverance are needed, but certainly worth the effort. And there are compensatory strategies to deal with problems such as decreased sensation, and these include oral stimulation as well as the use of vibrators and other sexual aids. And I encourage everyone to please don't be shy either about exploring your body to identify the areas most responsive to pleasurable stimulation or to making use of the sexual aids that are available. Okay, and sometimes to help with the psychological issues, you may want to look into things like soft music, candles. Sometimes this really does help the couple be more relaxed and able to respond to each other. So far as erectile dysfunction, this responds very well to Viagra and the newer related drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not for everyone because these drugs generally can't be used by men with cardiac or hypertensive problems. But there are other options available. One is penile injections, which feel like a mild pinprick, but like other interventions, can be a little scary until it's actually tried and found not to be difficult or very uncomfortable. There are also surgical procedures. There's a penile pump that creates vasodilation and a satisfactory erection. There's also a vacuum device that draws blood into the penis by suction. And again, these all sound a little scary, but many couples find them really easy and satisfying. And it's a matter, as I said, you got to kind of jump in and do some trial and error. And just want to mention that Viagra has also been studied in women, but unfortunately has not shown any benefit. But women can use lubricants such as Astroglide when vaginal lubrication is decreased. And it's important to be sure whatever product is used that it's water soluble, since those which are not, such as petroleum jelly, can lead to urinary tract infection. So I'd say in general, the best approach is to explore various options with openness, a sense of humor, lots of mutual support, and you may need to be the one to bring it up with the doctor. Some healthcare professionals feel that this is an area that's very personal, very private, that they're prying to some extent, even asking questions about it. But if you bring it up, I am quite sure that even if the physician or nurse doesn't feel with sufficient experience to give you advice, that the healthcare professional will certainly know someone who can be helpful to you.
Okay. And a quick comment about the emotional side of this, Dr. Holland. How important is it that a couple work together on the issue of sexual dysfunction?
Oh, it's really very important. I would say that without that, the chance of success is very, very slim. It really needs to be the couple supporting each other and caring about each other and communicating most of all.
And how about in your experience with your patients? How successful have people been at dealing with sexual dysfunction?
I would say that they've generally been very successful. The problems such as fatigue actually can be more of an impediment than even the erectile dysfunction, which responds, as I said, to a number of different interventions. But fatigue is really tough. If the person is feeling too tired to even, you know, make his or her way through the day and get the essential activities done, then sexual activity is not going to be very appealing.
Right. Well, Dr. Holland, thank you so much for spending so much time with us as we weaved our way through the many symptoms and many strategies to manage them. Thanks again.
Thank you.
The National MS Society is proud to be a source of information for you about multiple sclerosis. Our comments are based on professional advice, published experience, and expert opinion, but do not represent individual therapeutic recommendation or prescription. For specific information and advice, consult a qualified physician. If you have a question that wasn't addressed, please email us at mslearnonline@nmss.org. If you'd like more information on multiple sclerosis, click on the resources link on your screen or call the chapter nearest you for an answer to your question. You can reach your chapter by calling 1-800-FIGHT-MS. That's 1-800-344-4867. You may also want to check the National MS Society's website, where you'll find more information about today's topic and a menu of other webcasts available to participate in. Funding for this program was provided as an unrestricted educational grant from these National MS Society chapters. For the National MS Society, I'm Rick Turner, wishing you health and happiness.